Kumbhakarna, the younger brother of Ravan, spoke in the assembly.
O great king, ignoring the principles of statecraft, you have run into a great danger. If you had any grievance against Ram and Lakshman, you should have met them face to face and defeated and slain them before carrying off Sita. If you had acted thus, even Sita would have admired you, and there would then have been a possibility of her accepting you. As waters flowed down a mountain, she would have followed a victorious warrior. You did not consult us before committing the offense, and so incurred the enmity of Ram. But now, when it is too late, you seek our counsel. This is not the right way a king should act.
Having spoken harshly, Kumbhakarna looked at the king, and he saw he was pained. Affectionate as he was brave, he could not endure the sadness in his brother's face. Thus he said,
Let bygones be bygones. One cannot forsake one's honor.
Kumbhakarna was under no delusion as to the consequences, but his generous spirit accepted them for the sake of the brother he idolized. He knew that Ram was a peerless warrior. He knew the power of his bow, and also the limitations of the boons that Ravan had received from the gods. But it was no good taking the heart out of others in the face of unavoidable peril, and so he also began to speak vaunting words like the rest. He said,
What you did may be wrong, and also the way you chose to do it. You have done first what you should have done last. And yet, it does not matter. I shall slay Ram. Do not be afraid. One or two of his arrows may touch me. In spite of it, I shall kill him and drink his blood, and victory will be yours. My brother, lay aside your care and think of other things.
Prahasta was Ravan's chief counselor. He spoke of the king's invincible strength and cheered him up. Ravan now grew enthusiastic and said,
Didn't I vanquish Kubera? Didn't I drive him out and make Lanka my own? Who dares to come here and oppose me? Let him try.
The assembly applauded these words. The Bhishan alone did not join in the applause. He did not mind the wrath of his royal brother, for he felt it was his duty to warn him of the danger and the error of his ways. He felt bound to make his utmost effort to save him and the Rakshasa race from doom. So he stood up and spoke. You have brought Sita and with her death for yourself and your race. Your first duty to yourself and your people is to restore her to Ram. If you fail in this, we shall all assuredly perish. This is certain. He went on describing Ram's strength, skill, and mastery of weapons. He spoke frankly and without fear, saying, If we oppose Ram, defeat is inevitable. Our fortune is sinking. So let us restore Sita, seek Ram's pardon, and thus save our kingdom, our lives, possessions, and our honor. At this insistence of Vibhishan, Indrajit, Ravan's son, lost patience and burst out,
My uncle's words fill me with shame. What race are we? What is our strength? I marvel that a descendant of sage Palustya should talk in this strain, and that the assembly should meekly sit and listen. My uncle has only betrayed his evil intentions. We can never agree to his proposal. Are we to be afraid of two petty human beings? Did I not beat Indra down in battle and his hordes of gods? Did I not? You saw it. Does not the whole world now tremble in terror before us? The Bhishan's council is an insult to our race. Then the Bhishan answered gently, "You lack experience, my boy. That is why you talk like this. You are the king's son and should be his best friend. But I am afraid you are proving yourself his worst enemy. And you, ministers, who ought to give good advice, you are leading the king to ruin." "Ravan, my lord of Lanka, do not reject what I say. Return Sita honorably to Ram and seek his forgiveness. This is the only way. There is no other. Failing to pursue the only available course, we shall all perish." Ravan's rage was now uncontrollable and he shouted,
"I put up with your talk thus far because you are my brother. Else you would by now be dead. A brother, I see, is one's worst enemy. All the world knows that the envy of brothers brings dishonor and discomfiture to the brave. They hide their real desire and wait for their time, and when it comes, do not hesitate to practice their treachery." "Yes. So long as one is safe and prosperous, the brother smiles and talks pleasantly. Oh, yes. But when danger comes, he is ready to leave. The bee does not stay with the flower after the honey has been sucked. It goes in search of another flower. Brothers and cousins are no better than these bees. One cannot trust them in adversity. If anyone else had spoken as you have, the Bhishan, I would have slain him here and now. You wretched person, you are a disgrace to our race."
Unable to bear the insult, the Bhishan rose and said, "My brother, you may speak as you please. Though you have wandered from the way of morality, you are still my brother, and I warn you that, drawn by the noose of death, you are going along the path of destruction. My advice, salutary but unpleasant, you reject. It is easy to speak sweet words. Your ministers are doing it. I spoke for your good, but truth is bitter, and you hate it. The terrible vision of Ram's arrows destroying you is before my mind's eye and makes me speak as I do. You call me your enemy. Defend your city and your life as well as you can. God bless you. But I am going. I'm leaving you. May you be happy. I thought I could serve you in your need, but you will not let me. You imagine that I envy you and your possessions. Good counsel is rejected by one whose end is near." Having spoken thus, and realizing that there was no place for him in Lanka thereafter, the Bhishan renounced all his possessions. Then, rising into the sky, he proceeded straight to the spot where Ram and Lakshman were encamped. Four good Rakshasa friends went along with him.